You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
And my name is Kevin.
Oh, hey, Kevin. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm lactating.
That's a little disturbing. I don't think that's possible. You shouldn't be lactating.
Oh, no?
No.
No. Okay. Then I don't know what this is then.
I think you may need to see a doctor
if you're like... you know what? Let's just end the podcast now. I got to go see a doctor.
I know. This is pretty disturbing for a Shocktober.
Yeah, my...
For a Shocktober podcast.
It's very true. Very true. We're doing all for the month of October, Shocktober fun. We're doing some great Halloween esque podcasts here for you, some very spectacular fun things in a way, and tonight we've got a very special one.
Yes, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite horror comic book based characters, or it could be even be classified as like horror characters.
Yeah, kind of keys, right?
Keys.
Key horror comics, basically, is what we're talking about. Yeah, that sounds good.
Now, many of these, unfortunately, are out of the price range for many people, but it's always still good to talk about them. A lot of them have very iconic covers.
Yeah, there's some very iconic covers in here. One of the big ones, I would say, is Werewolf by Night number 32. All right.
Very true. I mean, that thing skyrocketed the last 2 or 3 years or so.
Yeah, they came out in the 70s, and that was the first appearance of Moon Knight, now played by... Oscar Isaacs?
Yes, Oscar Isaac.
Isaac. Well, if he ever clones himself, it'll be Oscar Isaacs. Yeah. Yeah, see, I was just thinking ahead.
There you go.
Being progressive.
There you go. We know that this is coming to a Disney Plus show, I believe, right?
Yes, it's going to be a Disney Plus show. We're both going to be in it, actually, so check us out.
I'm not aware of that, but that's great. That's great news to learn.
Well, I thought we would just show up and we would let them know. We'd be like, you know who we are, right? We're the real short box.
Yeah, and the security guards immediately pulls out their guns on us, and then what?
You know, I think they would just tase us before they would pull guns.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe
I think
they'll probably tase us as a warning, and then...
Oh, they would probably ask us to leave first as a warning, and then when I pushed you into the security guard to try to run past, you know, kind of using you as a human shield, that's when he'll tase you, and then I'll get about 30 more steps before I'm either tackled or tased myself.
Right, and then someone comes and finishes off.
Right, on the Disney lot. Yeah, we have a very cool picture of us trying to get into the Disney lot. It was me, you, and Jarrett at the time. And we had a, what was it, one of those wagons?
Yes, we did.
Filled with short boxes, and like, which was all the comic books that we had great ideas on that after Disney had purchased, right after they'd purchased Marvel, and then, of course, then they purchased Fox. We were like, well, shit. Let's go over with all these book ideas. We can show them visual so they can visualize, and then, you know, they might let us write something.
And that was before we saw the sniper and the water tower pointing at us.
So to speak. Yeah, yes. It didn't go over very well. Let's just say I had to sit down to pee for quite some time after.
Yes, you did.
I don't want to talk about anything else with that. It's not fun.
But Werewolf by Night 32, I mean, you're very wise to have picked up that book when you did. It's a super hot book. People are stabbing each other and doing everything they can to get their hands on it.
In the streets.
Pretty much. Pretty much. This is one of the hottest books in the industry right now. And if you didn't get it, maybe your best chance is to get the crappiest copy you can find. You know, one with just, you know, half the cover torn out, it'll still be worth something.
Mm-hmm. Very true. I actually like tearing covers. So if you don't have one that looks in bad condition and you would like for me to
tear it
to
for
help you.
You,
yeah, I'm willing to do it.
Yeah, he'll help depreciate your book by $1,000. There you go.
I'm the comic depreciator. There we go.
That's vicious.
Yes, I'll tear the back. Bad?
No, okay. That's bad.
Now, I tried.
The next book I wanted to talk about is another book that's hot. In some cases, it's getting up there to a point where it's is basically a book that's becoming unobtainable, and that is Tomb of Dracula number 10, the first appearance of Blade.
Oh yeah, already unobtainable for most people. It's like a $1,000 book. Like,
well, depending on the condition, maybe $1,500 to $2,000.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easily...
Even a crappy version is selling for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a friend of mine, John, that's been trying to get a Tomb of Dracula in a certain condition. And it's nigh impossible now for the price he wants to buy it for.
Not happening.
Yeah, I think his price point was like around $400 or $500, and I was like, nah, that ain't gonna happen, that's buddy.
No, no, sir. I was lucky when I bought my copy 4 years ago like at San Diego Comic-Con for... I didn't spend that much on it. I know you and Jared kind of teased me about the condition, but I think it was like maybe $80 I got it for at the time.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But thankfully, CGC blessed it and verified it to be a nice mid-grade copy, so I'm happy with it.
Hey, how about that? That's nice.
Absolutely.
Look at you.
Look at me.
Making money.
There you go. I mean, I wasn't looking for that unintentionally, but hey, down the road it worked out. So sometimes when you're patient, you just like something, you buy it. Ends up sometimes working out in your favor.
Sometimes. But if you like it too much, then you don't want to get rid of it.
That's true. You
know, that becomes a problem.
You get a little too attached.
A little too sentimental with your books, which is hard because I totally get it. Because a lot of times if you scrape and save and you're able to buy something and then, you know, 5 years later it's worth 10 times what you paid, you still don't want to sell it because you remember how much you went through to get the damn thing. So
that's true.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. A lot of sentimentality and a lot of... blood, sweat, and tears that goes into acquisitions when it comes to comics.
Oh, the sweet acquisitions.
Oh, the sweet-ass acquisitions.
And the next one I think was a very nice acquisition is Marvel Spotlight number 2, Werewolf by Night's first appearance. Am I correct?
Yeah. Oddly enough, Werewolf by Night did not... his first appearance was not in Werewolf by Night number 1. It was Marvel Spotlight number 2. And he did very well. Went through 3, 4, and I think even issue 5... It was a 3 and 4. So it was 2, 3, and 4. And it sold really, really well. And they were like, well, we don't want to continue to make this Werewolf by Night book. Mm-hmm. So let's spin him off into his own series. And then that's when the fifth book came. And the fifth book that followed, Marvel Spotlight number 5, that happens to be one of the most famous leather-bound anti-heroes you'll ever meet.
Are you referring to good old Mr. Johnny Blaze? Johnny Blaze?
Oh, yeah, him too, yeah.
Oh, yeah, him too.
Yeah, definitely Johnny Blaze is a very seminal character. Came out in the 70s as well, just as well as did Werewolf by Night.
This is 70s horror pod for all intents and purposes.
Kind of, yeah, you're right. Like, most of it. There's a few in here that we're going to be talking about that's not... But for the most part, yeah, a lot of them came out in the 70s, man. Like, a lot. And that's cool. It was a cool time for experimentation when it came to comic books. Like, Doctor Strange was, a big one. Like, everybody kind of was really digging on him and his own title in the 70s. Yeah, yeah, a lot of people were
substances,
like...
Substances. A lot of substances were being used, man, during that period of time.
Did you see the art in that Doctor Strange? Man, that's so good. Yeah, that's far out, man. You know, yeah, totally.
60s and 70s, yeah, a lot of substances were being used, and of course, it created some interesting artwork, for sure.
Oh, yeah, 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 for sure. Like Steve Ditko.
Starenko.
Jim Starenko, shit like that.
Jim Starlin.
Yeah. Even Jim Starlin. Those guys, they did some shit, man. They did some trippy shit, for sure. So we're back on Marvel Spotlight number 2, which is first Werewolf by Night. He's a cool character. He's just basically a werewolf. What's his real name? It's the dumbest thing. It's
like Jackal Russell or something like that?
Yeah, Jack Russell.
That is
like
a weird that is a weird name.
Yeah, Russell Terrier or something. Yeah. And Jack.
Yeah.
It's just
I couldn't take you seriously if I met someone and actually that was their real name.
Right. And you'd be like, "Oh, well, you're definitely turning into a werewolf." You know, it is.
Well, as a matter of fact, when the full moon hits, I'm out.
the guy's like, how do you know? And you're like, well, you know.
Hey, man, you're getting a little too hairy there, brother.
Yeah, you need a trim there, pal. It's my bush.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about another one. Since we're talked about a werewolf, let's talk about a vampire. And let's talk about, we already talked about Tomb of Dracula number 10.
Let's go to the beginning.
Yeah, let's go back to the beginning. Tomb of Dracula number 1, which is the first appearance of Dracula.
In a Marvel comic.
Right? Yeah, super cool. You know, I mean, a lot of comic books have a Dracula. Even like at one point, I can't remember which comic company it was, if it was Whitman or Harvey or something, but they made a Dracula that was almost like a spy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he just had a weird costume on, and he was running around with daggers and shit, and it was ridiculous. So there's been some weird-ass Draculas, and then there's been some really cool ones, and some of the really cool ones is basically Tomb of Dracula, and that's where it's at. I think it was Dennis Cohen, I believe, did some of the seminal work on that, if I recall. I could be wrong. Might not have been him.
Or Gene Colan.
That's it. Gene Colan. Yeah. Jesus. Why did I say Dennis Cohen?
You're thinking of...
Is he a director or something?
No. You're thinking of another comic book.
Oh, am I? Okay. It's been a day. Let's just say that.
I know. You've had a rough day.
I've been in the shit, Kevin.
Have you now?
Well, I hope not.
I mean, when you confuse, you know, the guy who did Tomb of Dracula with the guy who did Static... You know, it's that could be a problem.
Yeah, sorry, Dennis, and sorry, Gene.
And you might meet Dennis. He might slap you in the face for not getting his work right.
Well, he signed one of my books. That's the hell of it.
And that's another reason to slap you in the face.
I know. I'm so sorry, Dennis. I'm sorry. Don't hit me, please, please. But anyway, let's talk about some House of Secrets.
Well, there's a couple of major appearances in those House of Secrets issues. Let's start with the first one. Number 61 is the first appearance of Eclipso.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Eclipso.
Eclipso is like probably going to be the main baddie in the new season of Stargirl, or I think he is going to. I know he's in it, but I don't know if he's going to be the main baddie in the whole thing, or just partially, or what. But he's starting to make some waves, I guess. He's starting to get out there a little bit, starting to, work his magic. And I always thought that Keith Giffen was like had to do with the creation of Eclipso. I didn't know that he just like wrote or helped write and kind of create the foundation for Eclipso. And I think it was Charles Francis Moore or something like that. It's another writer that was writing Eclipso for a little bit too in his own series for DC in the early 90s. I think like 92, 93, somewhere around there. And that was an interesting title. Because I had, like, all these throwaway heroes that went after him, and, like, most of them died. I think the Creeper was in there, and then, like, some other dude, like, this big dude that was with glasses that was in the Flash for a little bit, and stuff like that. You know, like, some of these really, like, D-level
characters.
Heroes and villains were in it, yeah. And they were, I think even they put the Peacemaker in there, too.
Oh, the Peacemaker.
Yeah, I think he was even in there at one point. I think it only ran like 12 or 14 issues or something. And then they did this whole crossover, like title crossover, and all the DC comics were basically Eclipso corrupted all the heroes. And then like they had to figure out how to stop him. So each one, you know, they did the same thing with the Joker here not long ago.
Would he be a good team up with the Purple Man from Marvel Comics, Eclipso?
Yeah, actually, I think so, because the Purple Man makes you believe things, and, you know, he works on your mind, and then he could just convince you to take a piece of the Black Diamond or whatever and be, turn into Eclipso, essentially. So, yeah, they'd be a good 1-2 combination, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I don't think that they would share well. No. I think Eclipso would try to take over eventually, and then the Purple Man would try to figure out how to stop Eclipso. And then eventually, I think the Purple Man would probably change sides and side with the heroes and be like, look, Daredevil, I need your help.
Mm.
You know, this guy, he's out of control, and I wanted to be the main villain, me, and it's not working out, and I don't like it. So we would get that kind of situation, I think.
You're probably right.
Yeah, like a brat type thing. Hmm. But anyway, yeah, that's Eclipso. Eclipso's this cool cat that, you know, he's this, basically, he was, for a lot of people that don't know, he was the first Spirit of Vengeance. Or not Spirit of Vengeance. Yeah, kind of like Spirit of Vengeance. Like, you know, the Spectre, the Wrath of God.
Wrath of God.
So he was the Wrath of God before the Spectre was created. So
it's kind of like how Black Adam was right before... Shazam had the power of...
Right, yeah, and Black Adam went south, you know, got a little corrupted with power and used it a little too wrong. or wrong Lee, I guess, I don't know. And they were like, oh no, I've done something wrong. I need to take that back. And, you know,
correct the problem.
A little too late, but correcting it. Yeah. So Eclipso has a lot of the same powers as the Spectre in a lot of ways. He's just been depowered some because they were able to imprison him in this black diamond. And every time he escapes, he creates a lot of hell for people. And originally, I don't think that that was the way he was written. He was just written as this funny little guy with this diamond that he looks through and can shoot beams out of and stuff. And then the possession idea came about. And then, like, the whole Wrath of God idea came about. So, yeah, it's really cool to find out that they had made Eclipso the original Wrath of God before the Spectre. I like that idea. I thought that was cool. A way to really power him up and make him a big baddie in the DC universe.
Makes sense.
Yeah, totally makes sense. But yeah, it was a cool one. I like Eclipso a lot. I'm a big fan of Eclipso.
You worship Eclipso.
I have his action figure. Thank you very much.
There you go. Not many people do.
Mm-mm. So what else do we have?
Another House of Secrets book. It'll be number 92, which is a very famous cover, the first appearance of the Swamp Thing.
Right. Now, not the first appearance of Alec Holland, though.
No.
Just the first appearance of Swamp Thing.
Yes.
And who else is it the first appearance of in cover form? The artist's wife.
He's talking about Bernie, the artist Bernie...
Was it Bernie Wrightson's wife?
Bernie Wrightson's wife? Is it?
Was it?
I'm asking you.
I thought it was supposed to be, what's his name? He did Thor, a lot of Thor. You know who I'm talking about? The artist for Thor?
Yep, come back to me in a second.
Jesus, he was like seminal. He did the covers and stuff. He created basically Beta Ray Bill.
Not Simonson, right?
Yeah. It was Louise Simonson, or maybe. They based it off of her.
Oh, really?
Or maybe it was Bernie Wrightson's wife. I don't know. I'll look it up. You continue on with this this comic book.
Those of you, you know, who are big comic book fans and see that beautiful cover, that horror cover of the woman in the background and the Swamp Thing, you know, coming at her, or at least apparently coming at her. It's a pretty cool cover. It's a very expensive book to get. God knows, just like with Werewolf by Night 32, even a crappy copy will cost you a lot of money, probably cost you like a month's mortgage practically. Mm-hmm. But that's a book that would be really good to have in one's collection. But you can't go wrong with Swamp Thing. Great character.
I was right. It was Louise Simonson.
Oh, it was Louise Simonson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great character. Swamp Thing, I feel it's an underappreciated and underused character. And hopefully maybe on HBO Max we'll see Swamp Thing again. I know there was a brief show that was on that got canceled.
It was on HBO Max.
I'm sorry, it was on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll bring it back. Because I remember that.
Well, it was on DC Streaming Network.
DC Streaming Network, okay.
And DC Streaming Network didn't have the money, the backing that they do now as HBO Max or part of it.
So you know what? They could bring it back then. They need to bring it back.
Well, they certainly could. They did something interesting a couple years ago. They did a Crisis on Infinite Earths for all the television shows.
The WB.
CW.
I'm sorry, CW.
Yeah. And... So they did like it with Batwoman and Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Arrow, and The Flash, right? So it was like a 5-part series. And in it, they talked about all, like right at the end in the last episode, which I think was in the Legends of Tomorrow was the last episode. They talked about all the parallel universes and they just showed flashes of all these parallel worlds now. And on one of them, it showed Swamp Thing from that series.
That's cool.
And it showed the Titans from the Titan series that they were doing. It showed the Doom Patrol from the Doom Patrol series. It showed a bunch of different stuff from different films and stuff like that, kind of in TV stuff that they were working on that wasn't part of the CW. And like Lucifer was in there, and Lucifer is not part of the CW, nor I don't believe it's ever been. But since, they had the rights ultimately to the character, I guess they were allowed to use that person or something within that construct. So it made sense. So that was kind of cool to get to see everybody there and see that there's all these parallel universes and stuff of all these heroes that they could somehow bring them together at some point. And that was exciting to think about, you know, like if they couldn't do it in the movies anytime soon, maybe they could do it in television.
Well, certainly Marvel's about to do it in the movies.
Yeah, true. Well, they, I mean, Marvel's been doing it in the movies for ages, but now they're going to start doing it more in TV. They were, they did do it a little bit with the Defenders and stuff, but that was bullshit.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah, that's true.
The best thing to come out of that, Charlie Cox is great. He's serviceable. But let me tell you, there's better out there in the world. Now, who there's not better out there in the world
Kingpin,
for?
Kingpin.
You got it. Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin. There is nobody better. Nobody.
No one does it better.
Nope.
And
no
you,
one.
And you would tell it to his face, too.
Hell yeah, I would. I would definitely tell that to his face. I don't see why I wouldn't. He would love the compliment, probably. Or he'd be like, get the fuck out of here, little kid. And he'd be wearing this Thor hat. And I'd be like, Thor, here, you don't have your hammer in here. Wear this hat. Oh, wait, that's Adventures in Babysitting, for those that don't know. That's an old school reference. I'm sorry. I'm showing my age.
I know. You're almost 50 years old.
Elizabeth Shue was young in it. Yeah.
She was great in The Karate Kid, part one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Allie.
McBeal.
No, Allie Mills.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. So so we've talked about Swamp Thing. Let's talk about Swamp Thing's friend that came out the same year.
But like maybe a month or two before him.
Yeah, I think it was like 1 month, maybe slightly 2 months before. Yeah, but I think it was like a month before.
Savage Tales number one, Man-Thing.
The first appearance of Man-Thing. Now, let's be honest. If you're talking about names here, mm-hmm. who's got the better name? Swamp Thing or Man-Thing?
Well, depending on what industry you're referring to,
that's true.
You know, I guess Swamp Thing would be better.
Well, if we're in Chatsworth, it might be Man-Thing.
Might be Man-Thing, right.
You want to see my Man-Thing? That's why everybody makes that joke. Did you want to see my giant-sized Man-Thing?
Yep.
What number? Oh, there's only one. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bad joke, but it still exists for a reason.
Another muck monster.
Yeah. Creating a muck, that's for sure. Running a muck.
Running a muck.
However you want to say it. Yeah, so that was Man-Thing, first Man-Thing. That came out like a month or two before Swamp Thing. But this one was in magazine form, and if I recall, maybe black and white. Not 100%, but I think it was in black and white.
Well,
too.
If you want to crack open your CGC case, we can investigate.
I'm good. I'll just say it was in black and white for sure. We'll just go from there. Other ones we want to quickly mention, since we're still talking about horror books, since we did Eclipso, Man-Thing, Swamp Thing, we did Blade, we did Dracula, we did The Werewolf by Night. Hell, we did Moon Knight.
But what about
Ghost Rider?
What about Dead Man?
Dead Man, that's a good one. What, that was Strange Adventures?
Yes.
Strange Adventures 205, I want to say.
I thought it was 206.
Is it 206? Huh. Well, sir, we'll agree to disagree. I'm not sure. Maybe.
But Dead Man, Boston Brand, really cool character. The way he dresses is pretty cool, too. I like that red outfit.
Yeah, he died in it, right?
He pretty much died in it. Hey, he's a fun character, you know, when you see him around there just hanging out with the other, well, in this case, depending on where you have him.
But yeah, it's 205, buddy.
What's 205?
I can't be wrong. I'm sorry.
I thought it was 206. I'm sorry.
Never question me.
All right, I'll never question you again when it comes to Dead Man. You love Dead Man, so you know better.
I do love Dead
Man. You know better.
Yeah, it was 205. But a great comic. What's his name did the artwork for it? Our friend. From Krusty Bunkers comic books.
Oh, are you talking about?
Yeah, Neil Adams.
Neil Adams?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Neil Adams did the artwork for
I feel like Neil Adams done like half the books of the last 50 years or something.
At least half the DC books in the last 50 years. Yes, absolutely. Guy's done a lot.
He sure has.
Shit ton.
You know, him and John Romita Sr., you know, they're some of the last remaining living legends from, you know, the Silver Age and Bronze Age eras that really brought some memorable books over the years.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's been a lot of good stuff, a lot of solid work coming out from those guys. Let's see. DC Comics Presents 26. This is a good one. Not so much horror with it being the first, Starfire and the first Cyborg, right. But there's another character in there.
Raven.
Yeah, Raven's the daughter of Trigon. Basically, which is, you know, he's kind of like the devil in a way. And so, you know, she has some issues, some anger issues.
Some daddy issues.
Yeah, she's like a little Merlin running around with all these daddy issues and mischief-making eyes that she has. So, yeah, Raven's a really cool character. We've seen her in the Teen Titans series on television, but we haven't really seen her that I can remember in any form on the big screen.
Well, if you recall, before she was on Teen Titans, she was on a another series of shorts called Ted Kord Returns, if I recall.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's good. I created this series, for those that don't know. It's called The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns. It's available on Rumblespoon Productions' YouTube page, or you can just go to rumblespoon.com, and it's on there as well. You click on the Blue Beetle section, and every episode of every season will be on there also. And check it out. It's cool. There's four seasons. They're pretty short episodes, anywhere from 3 to 10 minutes apiece, somewhere like that.
So. I know one of our sponsors from Splatter Frog, he definitely enjoys it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. One Mr. Christopher D. Turner, his brother Josh actually is one of our sponsors. He does a brewery company called Splattered Frog. You go to splatteredfrog.com. Actually, you type in the code shortbox and you can get 20% off on your order currently right now. You get hats, shirts, pint-sized glasses. It's got some really cool stuff. So definitely check out splatteredfrog.com.
Based in the great state of Texas.
Absolutely. Don't mess with Texas.
Nope.
All right. So we have, we've got Raven. So she's like, related to somebody from hell. Who else do we have that's related to somebody from hell?
Huh? Well, I guess the guy he's called, boy. He's a boy. He called himself Hellboy.
Oh yeah, Hellboy. That's right, Hellboy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now that's a tricky one as far as first appearances. These are the ones that kind of threw you off a little bit.
Yeah, but let's go with the one that's traditionally famous or popular, and that would be the Next Men 21. That's the first full color appearance of Hellboy. That's the coolest one. He's on the cover. It looks really cool. You know, the Next Men are on there. He's there in the shadows, and you see his tail and stuff. And he just looks really cool on that. So I really like that issue. I think it's a great comic book. And a great one, actually, too, probably, unless you could think of anybody else. I know we probably didn't mention Dan Ketch.
Yes, the second Ghost Rider.
Yeah, who's the second Ghost Rider. And he's picking up steam, too, with popularity. So yep,
he's about a 30-year-old character at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a very popular character. Very, almost as popular as Johnny Blaze, I would say.
Wow.
Maybe not with the general public, but within the comic book community.
Yes,
I'd give him put him pretty high up there. He's kind of like the Wally West.
Yes,
of the
go.
Barry Allens, there
you
so
go.
To speak.
There you go. Or yeah. The Kyle Rayners with the Hal Jordans.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that also makes sense. Yeah, you could do that. I wouldn't say he's the Dick Graysons of the Batmans, though, because that's a little
would
different.
He, in that case, would he be like the Jason Todds of the Robins?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Probably the Jason Todds of the Robins. Yeah. The Red Hoods of the Robins, so to speak.
The Stephanie Browns of the Batgirls.
Ooh, that's, no. That's a bad one. Yeah, let's not do that. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, this was fun. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening. We keep this one short and sweet because, you know, a lot of these, like we said, aren't really all that affordable. Now, some of these, like that first Danny Ketch Ghost Rider, which is Ghost Rider number one, came out in the 90s. 1990, I think, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Strange Adventures, somewhat affordable. DC Comics Presents 26, somewhat affordable. That Next Men 21, you'll be able to pick that up for like $125, somewhere around there, or $100 even if you're lucky. But most of the other ones are going to be kind of pricey,
yep.
You know.
It's like
anywhere from $400 to $2,000.
Yep, it's going to cost you.
Yeah, so if you're going to look for those other ones first and work your way up and your paycheck up to getting those other books, unless you find it for cheaper. You have somebody that'll let you make payments. That is a key thing. If you find somebody that make payments, they are a beautiful person and you should do business with them as long as they're not overcharging you. But thank you for listening, and thank you for listening to our special Shocktober episode of The Real Short Box. Again, my name is Donald.
And my name is Kevin.
And we will see you at the very spooktacular, very terrifying
comic book shop.
Boop. This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.